now introduce our 15-minute speaker, Jeremiah.
Hello, I'm Jeremiah, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is September 13th of 2009. I have a sponsor. I'm willing to sponsor other men. And I have a home group. This is my home group because it's awesome. I'm supposed to tell you a little bit about what happened, or what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I was born May 21st, 1983, to two older brothers, or with two older brothers. two older brothers, that's odd. With two older brothers, and to say that we grew up religiously is to say that the ocean is sometimes blue. But that was just fine by me for a long time because we went to private Christian school, we lived inside of the church, and you don't really feel too weird when everyone believes the same thing, does the same thing, talks the same way. You know, everybody's kind of on the same page, so it was pretty cool. Until my dad moved us from Oklahoma back down to Florida. And then we started public school. And in public school, what they told us before in Christian school is that everybody's on drugs, everybody worships the devil, teachers have to be behind bulletproof glass because everybody's carrying a gun, and it's all true. And so I joined in fifth grade to public school, and the teacher called me to read, and she pointed at me, and I stood up. I had my book, like a good little Christian boy. Had my book in my hands, I stood up to read, and right before I started speaking, I'll never forget Kyle's name, he pointed at me and yelled out, "Dork!" And the entire class started laughing, including the teacher. And if you have the teacher laugh at you too, it's really great. So not only was I, you know, already out of place being my first year in public school, you know, now I've been permanently outed by every single person, you know, and everyone's on the same page except for me that I'm a dork. And so I felt a little weird. And then in sixth grade, I finally got some friends, and we had a slumber party one night over at this kid's house. And we all got the great idea that it would be awesome to smoke some pine needles and try and get high. So we go and we get as many pine needles as we could find, which were a lot, and we roll them up in notebook paper and put masking tape on it. And it looks like this big Cheech and Chong blunt, and so we start smoking that, and obviously nothing happened, you know, because you're smoking pine needles, but what happened is exactly what I needed happened to me, is one guy looked over at me and said, "That was cool, man, we respect you, we didn't think you were going to do that." And immediately right then and there, I knew exactly what I had to do to gain other people's respect, and that was whatever you wanted me to do. And the same thing happened with my first drink. My first drink was not my first drunk. It was the year later in seventh grade, some chorus friends, two wine coolers, didn't get drunk, but immediately I felt accepted. My first drunk was when I was 14 or 15. A lot of the past is kind of hazy. And I was hanging out with my oldest brother's four friends. He was off somewhere, but I was hanging out with them. And I outdrank two of them. And they're 22, 23-year-olds, and I was 14 or 15, and I outdrank two of them that night. And I remember looking over in the mirror while I was going to the bathroom at one point, and I looked at myself and I said, "I want to feel like this for the rest of my life." And I didn't mean on weekends, I didn't mean after 5 o'clock, I meant I wanted to be drunk immediately and always for the rest of my life. This is how I wanted to feel. And looking back on it now, I knew I was an alcoholic right then and there. Fast forward till basically I'm 26. Missing a whole lot of drunk log. That's cool. Living with my boss because he gave me the job because I couldn't hold down a job. He gave me a place to live because I couldn't hold down residency. He basically gave me food. He gave me money because he gave me a job, and he gave me pretty much everything. Pretty empty inside. I would get off of work and have a little bit of money in my pocket, and I would walk home and get off of work from the kitchen, come home and sit on my bed and decide, well, am I going to spend the little bit of money I have on fast food, or am I going to go to the bar? And if I spend it on fast food, then I would still want to be drunk. I would be full, but I wouldn't be drunk. So even though I didn't want to go to the bar, I would find my feet taking me there. Because like a lot of us, you know, we lose our licenses and I wasn't allowed to drive. Went blank. Here we go. And then, so it was just terrible. But being raised religious for pretty long, I've always believed in a power greater than myself. And I did a lot of terrible things because I didn't think that God was on my side. I didn't think God cared about me. I was knew that he was there, but I didn't think that he believed in me, and I definitely didn't believe in myself. And not only did I think he wasn't on my side, I was actively trying to be against him on the other side. And I tried a number of magical practices. I've worshipped Bacchus, I've worshipped the earth, I've worshipped the moon, and I've worshipped the north wind. And it's taken me to some dark and terrible places, and I hope no one ever really has to go there. I began burning myself as a sacrifice to these things, and also burning myself just to feel something, because pain at that point was the only thing I could feel, just being cold and empty inside. And then basically what happened is my brothers told my parents, and we got me down to treatment, which was great. I love rehab. Rehab's awesome. If you've never been to rehab, you should definitely go. It's awesome. We had talked a lot about my problems and, you know, me being selfish and self-centered and loved throwing self-pity parties because it's my party and I can cry if I want to, and it's great. And a lot of things that happened in rehab that were really helpful. One of the best things that happened to me was a Saturday there was a men's retreat. It was a spiritual retreat, and I was with this lady, beautiful lady named Reverend Barb. And we went through a lot of things that day, but at the very end of it, we all sat around in a circle, and she walked around and laid hands and prayed on each and every one of us. And right there, I was praying to myself, please God, take me back. Please take me back. I know I've actively worked against you. I know I've been a bad person. Please take me back, because if I can't have you back, I don't have anything. I have absolutely nothing anymore. And then I just began to speak or pray in tongues after praying that prayer for a number of times. And when she came over and she laid hands on me and started to pray for me, I felt three separate entities leave me. And since that day, I've felt lighter, happier, and just a completely better person, and back in line with God, with the God of my understanding, which has just been phenomenal. A few miracles that happened in my life. Well, a little bit more on that. That was the day I believe I truly did my third step. I did my third step with my sponsor, who was a great guy, but I don't know if I was in a place exactly spiritually, mentally, or physically to even do it then. I gave it my all. I didn't hold back when we did it with my sponsor, but that's the day I truly did my third step and turned the will of my life over to the care of God as I understood him. a few of the miracles that have happened to me now, I have my family back, and I don't feel nervous around them. I don't have shame in my eye when I look at them, and they don't have pity in their eye when they look at me. And not only is my family back, it's larger, and even larger now, because I consider all of you guys family. I also have the ability to cry again. When I was 19 years old, that was the last tear I shed. My brother yelled at me for reasons I don't have time to get into right now, but I went outside, and for 2 hours I actively tried to make myself cry, and I only had one tear, and I have the ability to cry again now. I feel things, and I want to thank each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart for being here for me for when I needed it the most, and still do. And that's my story, and I'm sick to it.